Hello and welcome to another episode of the Just Talking About Films podcast. We weren't with you last week because we had a week off because we wanted to. So I hope you didn't miss us too much, but we're back now to just talk about films. My name is Ian Sargentson.
And my name's Luke Taylor. And it wasn't just that we wanted a week off. We both completely forgot to prepare anything, really. We got to the Friday and it's like, maybe we should give it a miss this week.
Yeah. We don't want to just throw any old content out there, do we, Luke?
No. There was an ulterior motive for me as well, though, because at that point, I thought you'd seen The Batman, and I hadn't.
Oh, no, I had to change it.
So there's a little part of me that was like, you know what? I'm not losing anything by not accidentally hearing anything either. It wasn't the reason, but it was a bonus.
Oh, it didn't harm it, did it? But we've both seen The Batman.
We have. We'll get to that. What we're going to do is we're really going to go in depth with The Batman next week. But this week, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about all of the Batmen, as it were.
Batmans.
The Batmans. And we're going to go through all of the not the cartoons, but the feature film Batman films. And we're going to rank them and talk about each one. So we're going to go through each one in the order they came out. And then we'll put our rankings together at the end of that.
And then next week, as Luke said, we'll go into the new The Batman film. And we'll have a special guest to come on and share his thoughts with us about that. And we'll have a conversation about what we thought of it, where we fit, if he agrees with us, where he thinks it fits in to the catalogue of Batman films. And in the meantime, we'll give you a chance to watch it and we'd love to hear your thoughts about it.
Yeah. Great. But before we get to any of that, let's catch up with what we've watched this week. Ian, you go first. What have you watched this well? 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah. So I'll leave the Batman's films out of this because we're going to talk about them anyway, so I don't want to talk about them. So aside from Batman films, I watched Gangster Squad, which I've seen before but didn't really remember. And then when I was looking at it, I think it was on Amazon I watched it, or maybe Netflix. It got a lot of negative reviews to some degree. But I loved it. I really, really enjoy it. I like the style and the costumes and the whole era that it presents. Yeah, it's a bit shiny. It's a bit silly in parts, but there's a strong cast. There's a strong story to it. So it's basically set in the 50s, I think. And it's about the police using a special squad to catch the gangsters, but they're off the record, so they don't have to play by the rules. So I really like it. I liked everything about it. It's one of the Gosling Stone trios, so the three films that they've been in. So yeah, I just really liked it. I thought it was entertaining. Soundtrack was good. Maybe at times trying to be a bit too clever with the camera work, but yeah, it was a good strong film.
Cool. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, it's good. I enjoyed it. I then watched Freedom Writers, which was another one of these films. I've never seen it. I never really don't think I heard about it, but I put it on my watch list a long time ago or something. But it's about one of them inner city films, you know, inner city, rough Brooklyn, maybe, of the inner city suburbs in the States, where there's a teacher and she wants to inspire the whole class. It's based on a true story about how this teacher tries to get through to these kids that are living in, you know, real difficult situations with death all around them in gang culture. So it's based on the true story of that. And again, as with all of these things, there seems to be some controversy about how accurate it is. But yeah, it was good. It didn't turn in. And again, after you watch these true story films, there's a lot of entertainment in finding out the true story and reading about what actually happened and the real people in there. So yeah, I enjoyed this. That was Freedom Writers. I think again that was on Netflix. And then for our film club, we watched Edge of Tomorrow. Yeah. So and that there was three or four of us in the group that thought it was another film. So we all watched
you
it.
You all thought you were going to watch Oblivion, didn't you?
Yeah, we all thought we were going to watch Oblivion. So we watched Edge of Tomorrow, and I can't. There was parts of it that I remembered, but very few. I couldn't remember the story or where it was going. So maybe I was in a time loop, but I really, I enjoyed it for what it was. Tom Cruise irritated me, but I think at least half of it this time is that he's supposed to. the other half is just Tom Cruise in it. So it's like, still haven't forgiven him for Jack Reacher. So, yeah, so I enjoyed that futuristic time loop film about war against life from another planet. Then I went back to one of my childhood favourites. I rewatched Major League. I haven't watched it for a long time. Used to love it a lot as a kid. And just really had a lot of fun with it. Really enjoyed it. Film about baseball, about Cleveland Indians as they were. And about how the coach wants them to lose. So if they finish dead bottom, she can get out of a contract and set up a franchise in Miami.
What was it on? Yeah. I've not seen Major League before.
Yeah, and then it's like a comedy thing. It's got Wesley Snipes in it and Tom Berenger and a few others. And yeah, it's about them not doing what she wants them to by losing. But good fun, good fun. Then I watched Do the Right Thing by Spike Lee. It's one of the ones that's been on the list for a long time, but it seems, you know, it's a powerful message and you think it could be heavy going. You know, when someone says, oh, it's really important, it's, you know, talking.
One of those films you keep on putting off and putting off watching.
Delve into racial tension, because sometimes I'm naming, I'm like, I just want something light to watch, like Major League or something that I can switch off a little bit. But I thought, it's there, I'll give it a go. And I put it on and, yeah, I mean, the message is really powerful. And some of the things I didn't like about the film, I don't think you're supposed to. So there's not a lot of characters that you really have any investment in or affection towards, but I don't think you're supposed to. I think it's part of the point. And yeah, there's not a lot going on, really. It's just about all building up to this final crescendo climax, which is what is the whole of the film. And it simmers the whole way through. And that bit and the points that it makes, yeah, are really, really important. And you kind of, yeah, this is what makes the film. If I didn't know that that was coming, I'd have been like, what's this? Do you know, it's a film about a hot day. But it's, yeah, it really has an important message to tell. And it's about humanity rather than one racial group, I think. It's about how humanity reacts to one another and their sometimes the responses to one another and how that isn't good. So yeah, and then last night I watched Hardball, which is another baseball film based on a true story. Basically it's a guy who has gambling debts and his mate agrees to help him if he'll coach this little inner city baseball team, based on a true story again. And he coaches his inner city baseball team, but he doesn't want to. Then he ends up, you know, really getting involved with these kids. And again, their lives are tough. Now, I've ordered the book off the back of it. I've seen it before and I really liked it, but this time I didn't like it as much. It's Keanu Reeves, who's pretty wooden in it, I've got to say. And he's a bit up and down. He's a bit doing his best Nicolas Cage impression. But it's a bit patronising, I think. It's a bit of, intentionally or otherwise, a bit of a white saviour complex going on. Do you know what I mean? That, oh, look how poor these, you know, little inner city black kids have it. And yeah, that's a true thing, and how he's helping them. But then he's got his own issues. And it just felt a bit superficial and patronising, I thought, about real issues. There's a really important story there, and apparently the book was really good, so there's a really well-told story there that I just thought just simplified it a bit too much and polarized it a bit too much for me. So that's what I've been watching, and then this morning I've just come back from watching The Batman, but we'll talk about that later on.
Excellent. So you've had a good few weeks of films there.
Yeah, and if anybody listening or watching, you can follow me on Letterboxd, and then you can read what I think about each of those films in even more detail.
Yes, I do like your reviews on Letterboxd. I keep thinking of writing them, and I just go, I'll just put a star rating down instead. Requires less thought. This week for me, I've been watching, I saw Eighth Grade this week.
Okay.
Which is, have you seen it? It's It's a look at what it's like. I mean, it's a young girl in eighth grade about to start high school. And it's about what it's like to be young nowadays. You know, and how isolating it can be, how dangerous it can be. It's really just this examination of one girl who, you know, she struggles with her confidence. She makes YouTube videos teaching people how to be more confident, even though she's got no confidence whatsoever. And nobody's watching them, you know. It's like one view, that kind, you know. But she's doing it, I think, just as a way to build herself up. And it's a really well-observed film that is also, it's kind of, it's fun to watch, but it's also horrifying in some ways when you realise some of the stuff kids have to deal with nowadays. And it made me, I tell you what, made me glad I'm not a kid today. Really did.
It's a serious film, yeah.
It's lighthearted in it, but it's just little things like the way social media affects you, the way people bully nowadays, and there's one scene when in the school they're doing it, you know, and this is in a junior high, you know, or middle school, and they're doing a drill of what happens if a gunman turns up at school. And things like that, and what we must do. And it's kind of horrifying to watch. But it really draws you in. I mean, the character of the young girl played so well, so well. Yeah, actually, and it just feels so real. She's struggling to connect with her dad. Her dad's doing his best, you know. But it's a very interesting soundtrack. Is excellent on it as well. It's made by Bo Burnham, who's a comedian and a singer. And it just feels like, where'd this come from? Where did he get, how did, you know, this doesn't seem like the sort of thing that would just come out of a comedian, but it's a very good film, and it's an enjoyable watch, but at the same time, you do think, dear me, I'm glad I'm not a kid today. Mm. But yeah, so I'd recommend that. I'd really recommend that. I actually own that, so I don't know what it's available on.
So what, is it new or what?
Sorry? It came out 2018. It's been around, it didn't really do much when it came out. But for everyone who saw it at the time, they were like, "This it's one of the most accurate portrayals of what it's like to be a kid nowadays."
And you bought it?
Yeah, we saw it at the cinema when it first came out, and I thought it was great. So we bought it and rewatched it. It's a really worthwhile film.
Yeah, I'll have a look.
Quite eye opening in a lot of ways. You know, the stuff that they've got to deal with, and there's a couple of moments where you really feel that, you know, there's danger in the air for her a few times. But she's just a normal kid doing a normal, you know, normal high school life. So it's very good. Then we watched Serrano.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to seeing that whenever I get to it.
It was quite, you want to call it Serrano Ham, maybe. It's an odd film. Peter Dinklage is brilliant in it, first of all. He is absolutely, you know, he gets the character so well. The idea of turning him into a guy who has dwarfism rather than somebody who just has a long nose actually gives it that little, but it grounds the story a little bit more.
Yeah, it's a bit less comedic, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And there's some serious stuff in that that happens in the original story. You know, it's not like Roxanne. Roxanne has a happy ending.
Yeah.
And this, you know, it can't end well. And it made me wonder, I wonder if there's a cut of Roxanne where they're stuck true to the original story, where it has a tragic end to it and it just didn't play well or something. I don't know. But with it being a musical as well, they make an odd choice with the music. And I know it came from a stage play, so that's probably where some of it comes from. But the songs are all very matter of fact, as if it is just somebody singing off the cuff, you know, like they're having a conversation and they'll sing their thoughts for a little bit. But it just feels like the music feels out of place on it. It's very strange. It was like if I suddenly burst into song during our conversation now. I think because the rest of it's so grounded, it would be weird if I just suddenly burst into song.
My God.
So it keeps wrong-footing you as you're watching it a little bit, in the sense that I don't know what this is, which is a shame. It's wonderfully shot, wonderfully acted, but I kind of wish it wasn't a musical. And none of the songs are bangers.
No, so maybe it would have been better if they didn't do songs.
Yeah, but I enjoyed it enough. It was just the whole time it was, I don't know why this was a musical, but you know, I enjoyed it. Then Edge of Tomorrow of our movie club, which was my pick, and I absolutely love Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll not go into it too much, but I love how Tom Cruise turns from a sniveling, you know, weasel of a guy, and then every day goes through this, and you don't know how long he's gone through, but it just, you know, it just sort of every edge is like sort of smooth, you know, and he's just this hardened guy after the end. I really enjoy it. And it is, I think it's interesting about someone who he's selfish the whole film. And it's only when he stops being selfish that he really begins to grow. And I like that. I like that.
Yeah, there's a sermon there, isn't
there? Yeah, there is. He dies to self every day.
Yeah.
But I really like
it. Die to self, we can live for others. I think you said that in the review.
Yeah. And I think that's really good. And it's just a film. I enjoy it. I think it's well made. I think the action's good. I love the fact there's so much homage to Aliens in it, and clearly intended. I have love that film. It's very good. Then we watched Kimmy. Which is the new Steven Soderbergh film with Catwoman's in it. Zoe Kravitz is in it.
Oh, yeah.
And she works for, it's like a little bit like Alexa she works for, or Amazon Echo. In fact, it's not meant to be just that disguise, because that clearly exists in this world. So it's like a rival to it. And her job is to go through recordings that are accidental ones, or ones where somebody's asked something and it hasn't understood right, you know, where it goes wrong. And so she gets sent those, and she gets to say what the actually person was really asking for, so that it can learn and be better. But she's also... agoraphobic,
right?
And this is just post-COVID as well. You know, it's about now. You know, where she's been locked down for a few years. She doesn't want to go out. She's scared of going out the house, and it's kind of got that Rear Window edge to it. You know, she's got this. She's in a block of flats, and she can see all the flats at the other side, and looks out the window at what's going on. And then she gets on one of her things to, you know, check what was going on. She hears an assault and somebody being murdered.
Not live,
she gets it afterwards.
Right.
So she's then trying to investigate, and she reports it to the company, and the company doesn't react the way she thinks it will. And then it becomes this paranoid thriller of, are they out to get her? And, you know, is she safe anyway? What's been going on? What's the larger story? And it reminded me a lot of Rear Window. And I think that's deliberate. But like a modern update of it, you know, it's like he... thought he saw a crime through the window. She thinks she hears a crime on the thing, and he can't go out because he's, you know, he can't move, but she's scared to go out because of COVID and because of everything else. And it was, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a very good film.
Yeah. I mean, I like Rear Window, so I assume I will like this as well.
Yeah. And she does, you know, there's plenty of action in it. It's not all just that paranoia, but and it's one of those films that keeps you guessing as to what's going on. The only thing is I think it shows its hand too early.
Right.
Because initially it is she paranoid? Is there something really going on? That kind of thing. I think that could have been played on for a little bit longer than the film does. And I think once that tension's gone, it sort of loses a little something. But it was fun. I enjoyed it. And then we went to see the 50th anniversary of The Godfather at the cinema. Never seen it at the cinema before. And boy, they don't make them like that anymore.
No.
I tell you, what a film. And on the big screen where it captures you. Like, you know, last time I thought, okay, I probably had my phone in my hand, you know, and I enjoyed it. But to see it on the big screen and every nuance of Al Pacino's performance in that film is outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, so many good performances in that film.
Yeah, yeah. Great, great film. It was a long one, though. It's about as long as The Batman.
Yeah.
So it was a late night, but really, really enjoyed the Godfather. We went to try to go see The Godfather 2 because that was out as well, but that's nowhere local, unfortunately. But really, really enjoyed The Godfather and fully appreciated on the big screen how it was meant to be seen.
Yeah.
So that's been... And then we did The Batman, which we'll get to.
Yeah. Very good. So it looks like we've both seen some decent films.
Yeah. In fact, I don't think there's anything apart from maybe Serrano because of the music that I've not really thought much of this week.
Very good. Yeah. So let us know what you've been watching, what you think of films we've been watching, and anything based on what we've been watching that you think we should watch.
Yeah. Kimmy, by the way, is on, I think it's on Netflix. It's either on Netflix or Amazon. It'd be weird for it to be on Amazon. It might be on Amazon.
We'll check it out.
Or maybe it was on Sky. Oh, it was on Sky.
It was on one of them, but I was on Sky first.
Okay, right, let's move on. Before I send people to every streaming service ever to try and find it.
Yeah. It's Kimmy, K-I-M-M-Y or K-I-M-I?
K-I-M-I.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the name of the software.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, we're going to talk Batman.
Yeah.
And we'll go through them in the order they came out, and then we'll compile our rankings and put them in order afterwards. But we'll go through what we thought of each one first. Are we including 1966 Batman?
I haven't.
No, I haven't either, which is good. I don't think I've ever seen it.
No.
It's. I think maybe I've seen it when I was a kid and have no memory of it, other than it had all of the villains in together. And I think a submarine. That's all I got. So let's start with 1989, Tim Burton's Batman. This was, for me, one of the first films I saw at the cinema properly. I remember the hype surrounding this film when it came out. And that it was the first film in the UK to be designated 12. And I remember this because I was 11 and nearly 12. And I was really the whole summer, but I want to see it. I really want to see it. But at the same time thinking, well, if it's a 12, it must be a 12 for a reason. I don't think I'm ready for it. But I remember sneaking in a little early to go see it. And that's the film for me started me going to the cinema and loving cinema regularly. So it's hard for me to separate it from that, I think. But I think, I mean, you were less keen on it, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, as I say, as a kid, I don't have that nostalgia either. So as a kid, I wasn't really into Batman. I liked Superman. And I think it might be because of this, because it was just... I don't know what it was, but I didn't really get in. But then watching it last week or whatever it was to prepare for this, I just found it silly.
It is
Nicholson's
quite silly.
Thing. And I know that, people say it's probably more accurate and compared to the comics than I even realise. But that's not what I want in my superhero films. I'm sorry, I don't care about the comics. Even Nicholson...
he steamrolls the film, really, doesn't he? He just kind of steamrolls the film a little bit.
Yeah, he does, but it's just a bit weird. Do you know what I mean? With it's like a bit like, because I used to I used to watch the TV show as a kid, but it's just that stuff, with a flower with the acid. It's a bit more sinister at the time, I guess, the leap from the TV show to that. But yeah, I just didn't really get any of it. And people keep going on about, Keaton's the best Batman. I'm not having it.
You not like Keaton?
No, he's too old for me. I just didn't like it. I thought it was hard to get through.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Sorry. No, I know that people expect more, and it's rated highly by many. But I didn't like it.
I do like Keaton. I like the way Keaton plays Batman. And I guess we'll come on to all of these as we go through each one. But I like that he plays Batman as a guy who's just nuts. I mean, he's nuts. I mean, he's kind of like, he's almost as psychotic as the Joker. I mean, the fact that he dresses up every night and deals. I mean, there's something strange about a millionaire who dresses up as a bat every night and goes out and hits people. It is a strange thing. But he plays him as this guy where he is. He's just so damaged and so, like he's a shell of a person, really, when you spend any time with him. And I love his Bruce Wayne is, he's just playing a guy who isn't really interested in what's going on. And, he plays him as a klutz. And I quite like that because it's a nice dual side of them. You know, he puts on this front of someone who you'd never think was Batman because he's a bit of an idiot. But I like Keaton. I think Keaton's good.
The bit that tipped it over the edge for me was the bit with the handshake.
Oh, that bit.
I'm like, no, it's just descended into farce now.
Yeah, that was silly. That was always cut out of the version I had when I must have had it recorded off the telly. That bit was never in.
Yeah, you'd probably think it was because it was so violent, but it wasn't. It was just because it was so nonsensical.
Not massively keen on the Prince songs. That's a bit strange.
Yeah. People talk about that, but it wasn't. I just, I can't remember, but I scored it pretty low. I remember I texted you afterwards going, Luke, that was awful.
It's definitely got a nostalgic place in it, but I do like, I like Keaton's Batman as Batman, you know, just, I like the costume. I like the, you know, the fact that it's just so, it's evolved a lot since then, but I love it's just this guy, you know, he's not strong. He's not powerful. He just wears body armor.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't, I want to throw you a bone, but I can't agree with you. I just didn't like, I like very little about it.
Yeah. That's fair. Hey, that's fair. So this leads us to the next one, because what Batman did was kickstarted the whole superhero genre again.
Yeah.
And that led us to, it was such a big hit that Tim Burton was given a little bit more leeway a second time round.
Yeah, I think it must be said that there are very few, if any, that I can think of on top of my head, Tim Burton films that I do like.
Well, that
just a bit too dark and abstract for me with all these, like even Gotham was more comic book than I would like in my Gotham.
Yeah, it was very much so. And that gets more so in Batman Returns.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
So Batman Returns is a little bit unhinged. I mean, it's a strange film. What did you think of Batman Returns?
To be honest, I like the story more than Batman. But again, there was just, it was just a bit weird. Batman was, and I know that Batman's a tortured soul. We've already touched on that. And I think that's done better in subsequent films.
Hmm.
But it's just, I also want to invest in him. I want to be on his side. And in Batman Returns, I found that a bit hard.
He's a lot more distant in that film, isn't he? I mean, there's one scene where the bat signal shines in, and he basically, all he's doing is like, he's just sat in a dark room waiting for the signal to
come. Yeah,
he literally has no life outside of that. Yeah. He's just sat there waiting. Which is, you know, yeah, he's a shell of a person. But I was obsessed with this film when it came out. Catwoman and the Penguin, I was obsessed with when this came out.
I liked a bit of that because they were familiar.
Mm.
And I don't want to jump ahead, but like the film I've seen today, I think does that considerably better. So, I think it was Michelle Pfeiffer that did Catwoman, was it?
It was, yeah, Michelle
Pfeiffer. I think she did a good job.
Yeah, I think I would still say it's the best Catwoman by a long stretch. Gets the character and just made the character so interesting to watch. She just goes completely bonkers in the performance, and I think it's a great one. And Danny DeVito as the Penguin was just the strangest character. But of course, Batman was such a big success. Batman Returns comes along, and the McDonald's toys are all being made and all of that kind of thing. And apparently the studio were absolutely, you know, people were repelled by the film. Repelled by the Penguin, saying, "Why would we want a McDonald's toy of the Penguin? Because it is he's disgusting." And so, unfortunately, it didn't do as well, and kind of caused the whole thing to come crashing down a little bit because the studio were like, "Well, we're not letting anyone do that again."
Yeah.
But I think it's certainly, whilst it's a very strange film, it's certainly the one that has a clearest vision of what it wants to be.
Yeah, I preferred it to Batman.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the extra
by a lot. It wasn't the greatest film, but in terms of what I want from a Batman film, yeah,
that's good. Unfortunately, what it led to was the Warner Brothers saying, "Okay, we're going to concentrate on the merchandise. We're going to bring the director in, and we're going to produce Batman Forever," which had the result of Tim Burton saying, "Well, I don't want to work like that," so he walked. And then Michael Keaton, once Joel Schumacher came in, Michael Keaton also walked out of loyalty to Tim Burton. So then we get Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
And we get Tommy Lee Jones. And we get the weirdest Jim Carrey performance ever.
That's a claim, that.
Maybe not. Maybe not the weirdest.
Cable guy. We do, but I think I wasn't too upset with Jim Carrey as Riddler. Again, it was a bit too comic-y. It was a bit too, you know, the green flashy suits. I don't want that. I like, and we've talked about before, like my superhero films being a bit more realistic, like The Joker, like Dark Knight, like Logan. So I didn't buy into that, but, and Tommy Lee Jones, I think, is a terrific actor. I just think he chose badly here.
What was he doing? His performance is so... If Tommy Lee Jones had come in and played Two-Face like he normally plays his other characters, it would have been great.
Yeah, that's what I was watching. I was thinking, this is, what's he doing? Who's told him to do this? Because Tommy Lee Jones, I think if you'd have said Tommy Lee Jones is going to be Two-Face, I could see that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work. And Val Kilmer, you know, what, I understand why he did it. Who wouldn't? But probably not in them circumstances. And he's just unconvincing, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. It's the bland. I think he might, one of the blandest, as we'll see. But it doesn't make an impression as Bruce Wayne or Batman, really. And you don't want Batman's... There was a bit where it's the car, isn't it? Chicks dig the car.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I don't want Batman speaking like that. That's not Batman.
Yeah, he was playing Iceman or whatever it is from Top Gun anymore.
Yeah. It was just like, that's not Batman. I mean, the very first line, you see the car at the beginning of the film and the Batmobile rises up and it's all big dramatic and Alfred goes, do you want a sandwich? And he goes, I'll get takeout. And you're like, what am I watching?
Yeah.
What is this? It's just, oh, man. Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones famously did not get on at all.
They did not. I mean, you can imagine that. Tommy Lee Jones seems like a fairly serious, you know, professional thing. And Jim Carrey just seems like quite an eccentric guy, doesn't he? Especially at the time, because I think he had a lot of difficulties with success at the time, didn't he? And mental health and different things, so...
Tommy Lee Jones said, I mean, Jim Carrey said, why do you not like me? You know, because he actively hated him. He says, I cannot sanction your buffoonery.
Cannot stand what?
I cannot sanction your buffoonery.
Yeah. Well, I can understand that because I think we all know people just don't non-stop. But at the same time, if anybody said to me, I cannot sanction your buffoonery, I'd be like, who do you think you are? So I'd probably be, you know, in between them.
But that also introduces us to Robin for the first time on film, and I can't get away with that.
Well, when I saw it, and again, what was it, 95? So you know, I was probably the target audience. I thought, I'm quite excited about this because Robin was one from my childhood that was in the TV shows that you'd watch on a Saturday morning when I was eating my cornflakes or whatever. And he was the one with all of the lines, you know, leaping lizards and all of that. Golly gosh, Batman. And you'd never seen sight of him in any of the films. And then, this will be good, this. Little did I know, but I was quite excited about it at the time. I think, naturally, they get on and he's going to be Batman, Robin. Yeah, probably should have just left it there.
probably. And... who else was in that? Nicole Kidman in that, I think, I like Nicole Kidman as an actress, but she's terrible in that as well.
Yeah, the soundtrack was better, though.
Soundtrack was good, yeah. Good soundtrack.
Won't Be Thrilled with Kiss Me, Kill Me, that wasn't it, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah, that was it, yeah. So and then we take another turn for the worst.
Yeah.
Well, in my opinion. And we go to Batman and Robin, which all of the actors involved afterwards have said... You know, I mean, Chris O'Dowd, who played Robin, said, you know, at least when we made Batman Forever, we knew we were making a film. This time, it just felt like we were making a toy advert. And it all became about the toy. I mean, it's got three costume
changes.
Yeah,
and that's what it is. And you see that, do you know what I mean? It just became, what can we sell off the back of this?
Yeah. And it's like nobody even bothered to check the story or anything like that. I mean, Bane in that is a travesty.
Yeah.
Poison Ivy, again, there's some good people here,
good actors.
That's the crazy thing. It's like for Poison Ivy, you're just like, how can Uma Thurman be this bad?
Well, it's another Batman again, though, isn't it? It was a different Batman. It was Clooney,
it was George Clooney this time, yeah,
it was unconvincing. understand why they went for him, because he's probably, that was at the top of his peak of his powers.
This was, he is the hot new guy. Let's get
after
him.
After ER and stuff.
And I understand why he said yes to it, but dear me. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's not the greatest actor, and he plays this well in a, it's a non-stupid character. But you've got a good cast there, because you see, you've got George Clooney, you've got Uma Thurman, Alicia Silverstone, who again have been at the peak of her powers, not all, just before with Clueless and, well, Clueless. we got Uma Thurman. So,
it just seems such as, like, how did they not know when they were making it? How bad it was? I mean, even little things like Arnold Schwarzenegger was virtually never on set. He did his close-ups and somebody else handled everything else. George Clooney said he never met him while they filmed it.
Really?
And it's just like, how can you? How can a film be made in such a way that you've got to know it's that bad? You've got to. It's like somebody didn't care somewhere along the line, or the studio just interfered too much. I don't know. It's a painful film to watch, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it still made $238.2 million at the box office.
Yeah, which is crazy, isn't it, when you think about it? I mean...
Well, yeah, but I reckon everyone went because they were excited about it and thought, what is that? Like, again, it's just throwing as many characters as you can in there. That's what they were doing for the merchandise. Because Alicia Silverstone is Batgirl. It was...
Yeah, we didn't need to introduce another one so quickly after you've just introduced... You haven't even solidified Robin yet. And the whole thing with Bane, where he's just this mindless character who shouts Bane a lot. It's just Bane. That's it. That's literally all he did. And you're like,
Keep Swanson. But he was a bodybuilder as well, wasn't he? That guy.
Yeah, I tell you, it was a chore to get through that film.
It really was
hard work.
I think it was the first time.
Yeah. I just kept looking forward to the end.
Big budget though, wasn't it?
Big budget, yeah. They threw a lot of money at it. It just, none of that money seemed to go the way of the script.
No, it just went on the cast, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, that nearly killed it. And, you know, for a few years, there was nothing. And they kept trying to restart things. Joe Schumacher was going to make a third film that was going to star the Scarecrow.
Right.
And then that didn't happen. And then that's when Christopher Nolan comes in with Batman Begins, which changed everything, really, didn't it?
Yeah.
Tell me your thoughts on Batman Begins.
I loved it. I loved it. The fact that it goes properly into... I know, and we'd seen glimpses in the other, but there's a proper origin story there, really. You get a glimpse into the person. You get a chance to emotionally invest into them, as you say, rather than just this grown man that wears a bat suit going around beating people up. You see that the tortured soul that is there. I think Christian Bale is excellent. I really do. I think particularly as Bruce Wayne, do you know when he gets that flash, but bravado putting a front on.
That's it. Bruce Wayne is a front, isn't he? He's just he's an actor.
But you see that, but he puts it, is flashing and all of this. And I think, I just loved it as a story. It just really thought it's back here. I think, the cast was strong. You know, we've got Cillian Murphy in there, Liam Neeson, all Irish, I think. And I think Michael Caine was a revelation.
Yeah, Michael Caine was very good.
Do you know what I mean? He's an institution. He was born to play that role, I think. So it's
I really enjoyed Batman Begins. After Batman and Robin, I was done with Batman films. Yeah. That was it. I didn't want to see one.
Gary Oldman, Morgan Freeman, is just a quality cast throughout. So that's where you start. Get the actors who are going to play and play the characters well, not gimmicky. Mm-hmm. Because we've had enough of the gimmicks. This is what I wanted all along. I didn't know I wanted it till I watched it, and then I was like,
And this play, I mean, I think Nolan's Batman films play more like, they're like cop movies, really, in a sense. Yeah. They're like, I mean, especially when we move on to The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight reminds me so much of Heat.
Yeah.
You know, it's got that sort of edge. They're proper crime story. You know, like, taking down the whole mob and all of that. And it's, you know... I really like the play, like big epic action films.
And then when you go out, when I went out of it, I remember now, I can't remember what year was it, 2008, is it?
I think so, yeah.
I remember going out thinking, I can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, and that little bit at the end where you see the Joker card at the end and you're like, yeah. Oh, I'm up for that.
2005, and I think getting Hans Zimmer involved was a great shout.
Yeah, really good soundtrack on it as well. Yeah, such a good film. And then followed up by, in my opinion, an even better film, and that's The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Which just took everything to that next level. I think The Dark Knight is one of the best films ever made.
Yeah, I agree.
Just stunning. And I know Heath Ledger's performance gets a lot of the press, and quite right, because he's very good in it. But even so, as a film, you know, just the scope of it and just the whole film, it just takes it up a notch, I think. But a remarkable Joker in that film.
Yeah, absolutely. He's outstanding, isn't it? I don't know what else to say. I think the thing where it stepped up a bit was some of the cinematography just looked aesthetically pleasing. Batman Begins was good, but this kind of just thought, we've got a bit more confidence now. We're sure who we are. And it just played into it. And yeah, Heath Ledger's performance does get a lot of praise, and some of that will be due to the tragedy of his early death. But I think it would have been a performance for all time anyway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it's just like this unhinged psychopath, sociopath is born then.
Mm.
Whereas before it was almost like, oh, he's some... a bit weird and a bit eccentric and just a bit giggly, whereas he was sinister.
Yeah, he was, yeah. Very sinister. That whole scene where he first confronts the mob bosses and introduces himself, and he's just got this confidence about himself.
Yeah.
That, great. But I think everything else about that film still is great. The whole Two-Face thing, the way we see Harvey Dent rise and fall is great.
Yeah, and again, compare that to Tommy Lee Jones, it's like you get the story there and there's a story behind it. It's not just all this, that.
You get the tragedy.
I'm really angry with everyone. It's like, I think Aaron Eckhart did it well.
Yeah, I think Aaron Eckhart's very good. I think it's a shame that he hasn't had more success since, because I think he's actually a really good actor.
Really remember him from.
Yeah, that's the problem, because I think actually on screen he's got it and could have done a lot more, but I think he's very good, but a very good Harvey Dent. And you feel the tragedy when he falls. That bit in the hospital when he's got half his, and you first see his face like that, and the way the
you don't see it, do you? Because you see this half and then
it's not until he later on you see him properly, is it? Like at the very end of it. But when the Joker's taunting him and all of that in the hospital bed, and it's just, it's a great film. Even the side stuff, like the thing that the Joker's going to reveal who Batman is, but then this guy comes forward and says he knows who Batman is, and Joker puts out a hit on him. And that whole thing of everybody panicking and trying to kill him, and Bruce Wayne saving him by crashing his car in the police car, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's a great film. It's,
Yeah, and
it feels like The Godfather. That's a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a proper... It's a proper head-to-head where it's not that you... It's well-matched, if you know what I mean.
Mm,
so the Joker, as sinister and stuff as he is, you know that he's a worthy adversary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. It's one of my favourite films.
Yeah, I think it's a really good film. And then we get The Dark Knight Rises. Now, I like this one less. I don't know what you think about it. I think it's great. Don't get me wrong. I think it's epic. It's got a lot going on. Some of it doesn't make much sense to me.
So for me, although I would say that technically The Dark Knight is the better film,
mm-hmm.
I prefer Rises.
Do you? Oh, right.
I just, as much as I love the Joker, I just really, really like Tom Hardy as Bane.
I think Tom Hardy's very good as Bane. He's very good. I think the problems I have with it are more with some of the logic leaps the script makes. Sometimes Bane's plan doesn't make a whole heap of sense.
No.
Batman's plan makes absolutely no sense at times. I mean, when he goes to confront Bane, it just feels like he's going to confront Bane because you know he has to get his back broken.
Yeah,
he seems to have no reason to go down there. You know, there's a fair few things like that. Was just like, I really don't understand why this is happening.
Yeah, and I like the whole bit about, you know, him getting out of the pit.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me a bit of Rocky. Do you know what I mean? In that,
yeah,
you're just rooting for him, and he just tries and fails, and then, you know, all of a sudden a switch flicks, and then it's going to happen. It's a bit nonsensical to a degree, I'll just do it this time, but I kind of like it. So but just like, I remember being wowed about it, but whereas trying to be impartial in terms of technical, I would say The Dark Knight is a better film, but I enjoyed Rises more.
I like Rises, don't get me wrong. I just don't think it's as good as the other two. I enjoy the story. I think Tom Hardy's Bane's great. There's a couple of moments in there where I'm like, and I think his Batman voice at this point has reached new levels of, like, it's almost absurd how Batman-y his voice gets.
Yeah, when I watched it at the cinema, it was notorious because it was sound issues, wasn't it? Especially with Bane, that I had them, but on Blu-ray, they've sorted it out, the mixing. Yeah.
That opening scene when they hijack the aeroplane as well is brilliant. So good.
Yeah, very good.
That's good stuff, that is. And there's plenty of good stuff in it. Things like the timeline don't make any sense to me. And it's like, seriously, he had a bomb. How many months did they have that bomb and the city cut off for? And, you know, there's just so many bits that just don't hold together for me. But I do like it.
I like the bit where, you know, they're on the American football and the field's falling away behind them. I remember in cinema thinking that looked pretty cool.
That was very cool, yeah.
You know, again, a bit far-fetched, but there's got to be an element of that to it, I think. So.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah. And then we have, are we going to cover Batman versus Superman?
Well, you can. I didn't like it.
No, I didn't like it either. Should we just not consider that one as part of it?
Well, I'll just say I didn't like it. It was too mechanical for me. I didn't like any of the characters.
No.
They were both just awful in it.
Yeah. Nothing about that film I like.
No.
Nothing about the Batman side, nothing about the Superman side. It's a dour. I just don't like that film at all.
Right. We're going to put two of your favourite superheroes on screen and you're going to hate them both. Well, well done.
Yeah. And not only that, they'll get to fight at the end.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get any of the good stuff. You're just going to get them glaring. Oh, man, it's just one of those films where it takes itself so seriously. And it's just, oh, yeah.
Batman's suit's just a bit too chunky for me.
Yeah. And nothing about that film is any good. Just... I'm trying to think of something I liked about it. No, got nothing. Got nothing. No. And then let's not consider Justice League either. That's not really a Batman film.
No, I haven't put that down.
No. And then so that brings us to The Batman.
Yeah. So I've just watched it this morning. So I'm still working through it, but I loved it largely. Think all the films that I liked about all the things I like about the Nolan ones are there. It's realistic. It's, you know, it's based on if it was a true story. Do you know what I mean? So that it doesn't jump too far that he is this, you know, billionaire playboy or whatever that builds these gadgets. He doesn't have superpowers, and that is evident in this. I think when we're talking about before about the tortured soul of Bruce Wayne. I think it probably pushes that a bit too far. He's just miserable. He's just Edward Cullen for the first 4 hours of the film. No, so two hours of the film. I think they'll build that because he thaws slightly, doesn't he, with Alfred and stuff.
I think that's what I really like about it. He's a Bruce Wayne or a Batman, and there is no difference between Bruce Wayne and Batman in this film. It's not like it's a disguise, is it?
No.
But he learns a lesson about who he is and about what he's inspired. And I don't want us to get into spoiler stuff, but towards the end, he learns how he's been an inspiration to people in a bad way.
Yeah. And he also, it delves into that fact, the motivating factor for the whole thing is he's pursuing justice or vengeance.
Yeah.
Because what happens to his parents, and then it shows how it impacts on him when he thinks certain things about what the truth is.
Yeah.
And then there's almost a vindication, and it also brings that element of not good people sometimes make poor decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
And redemption. So I liked all of that. I didn't like the eye makeup thing and the focus on it and the constant shots of him in the rain with his makeup dribbling down. Could do without that. But I thought it was shot beautifully well.
Yeah. Every Batman's had to wear eye makeup. It's just, one thing I really noticed on Batman Returns, there's a bit where he takes his mask off at the end. And you can see for that shot, they've took his eye makeup away so that when he takes it off, there's no... And the mask looks silly without the eye makeup. Because he's just got these big circles of skin around the eyes. So he does that and it's like... So I quite like the eye makeup. Batman would have to wear eye makeup. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Or just have narrower things. But, yeah. I think it's shot really well. As I say, I was saying to you before that I think it's shot almost like a Fincher film.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of Seven with the constant rain, the color palette, the reflection of in the weather and the whole place. Is reflecting his soul. I like that. There's a bit of Saw in it with the whole Riddler bit and a bit Zodiac as well. So I like that element to it. I really liked the Riddler.
Yes.
Even when you find out who he is, I like that element to him. I like that it is like a lot of the crime things you watch or you've watched that is this unhinged, like Seven, unhinged individual. So I like that. So I loved it all. The two things that I'm not convinced by, which I've said to you, is not convinced by Pattinson, particularly as Bruce Wayne. He just looks, and maybe it was on purpose, but it was just all gaunt and...
Yeah, I think it's on purpose. I think he's kind of still got to discover how he can be a person now.
Yeah.
And that's
so say it might come and it might change that slightly. And then the second thing was the Catwoman, although the character I think is good, I could do without the character, but the plot of her character and her centrality to the plot is good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So I like that, but I'm not sure how I feel about the whole character being there at all, but her story is great.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I like the way the Batmobile is pretty cool, but not in an over-the-top, ridiculous way.
Yeah. And
the motorbike at the end, you see different, but he's riding around on a normal motorbike a lot.
He's just normal bike for most of the time. I like that. He's just finding his feet with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the Batmobile was great. It felt like a really dangerous car, but a car still.
And one thing I did like, another thing I did like, is that it didn't seem to feel the need to retell the story.
Yeah.
You just assumed that we know.
Yeah, and which we did.
Parents were murdered horrifically. That, do you know what I mean? It didn't reimagine that for us. We just built on that.
Yeah, it told you enough if you didn't know.
Yeah.
But didn't dwell on it. And I like that. Yeah, I did like that. I liked, I thought the car was great. I thought the scene where I'll have to watch. I've only seen it once, so I was a little unsure. But there's a bit where he's threatening the Penguin with his car, just revving it up. And everyone starts running. I think he stalls. I think the car stalls. It's like, because he keeps making mistakes, this Batman. And I think he stalls his car.
Oh, yeah, I think he did, because he moves forward. And I thought, what's that? And sends him, and he stops. Yes, I think he probably
this is clearly the first time he's had that car out.
I think Paul Dano was an inspired...
Oh, brilliant.
Piece of casting.
Yeah.
Really, really good. I didn't get, and I've read about it loads, I didn't get until coming home and looking at something that it was Colin Farrell. I totally forgot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally forgot. And I remember reading going, I wonder how that'll play out and people talking about how good the makeup was. And it was that good, I forgot until I got on.
The makeup and the performance. I mean, he transforms his voice, his manners. I mean, there's no way that to know that's him, is there? It's excellent. It does make you wonder why you hire Colin Farrell if you don't want him to look or sound like Colin Farrell. But hey, but kudos to him for that.
Yeah, and I think Andy Serkis was good as well.
Yeah.
One thing I do like is, another thing that I did like is that he wasn't this hero. Everyone was suspicious of him because it is that early in the story that he doesn't even say Batman. He's calling himself Vengeance.
When he walks into the crime scene at the start.
Yeah, and the cops don't want him there.
Yeah, and they're just looking at him like, what is this guy doing here? And it was excellent. I like that.
So I think it was dark enough. So it was different enough. Because I'd talked to you, I talked in previous episodes saying, I don't know why the film has been made. Mm. But I think it was different enough for me not to think, well, there's no point in making that.
Because you compare to the Nolan ones, the Nolan's ones are like a cop's, you know, like Heat, that kind of story. This is more like a detective story. It's more like Seven. It's more like it's more like the Maltese Falcon. I mean, he's even got a high collar, like Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of all of those things.
And as much as I didn't like, it's because of the others, I think, because of the lens that I'm looking through, that I didn't like the character of him. He was just a bit miserable. But that gives so much potential for where they take it next, because you'll see the arc then.
Yeah, this is the first time Batman's really learned a lesson.
Yeah, because he's been haunted by the death of his parents. He says, this is why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
The whole reason, I don't care what goes on out there. He says it a number of times. I don't care about the accountants. I don't care about the funds. I don't care if I have no money. If I can't do this, it's not worth it. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So I like all that, how driven he is. But then, as you say, by the end of the film, the nearly 3-hour runtime, the humanity is shifting. Mm-hmm. He is becoming more human. Because he says, I've never felt fear like that. I thought I'd conditioned myself until a situation happened.
Yeah.
Without
spoiling it again, there's a great scene that happens between him and Paul Dano.
Yeah.
Near the end of the film, and both of them are just both actors in that moment are just so good.
Yeah, so it's good. A good confrontation.
Yeah.
And again, the deranged thing, a bit like Seven, that he's surprised that they're not in it together.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing I have to say, I don't think the last act worked very well. The whole climax scene, the thing he has to save the city from in the end.
Yeah, it was a bit long and a bit. I didn't think it needed added on.
No, and it also just felt a bit like after everything you've gone through, it just felt like a weird. I don't know. It just felt like a different type of movie would end like that.
Yeah, the Riddler's final act I didn't like so much. I did like the fact that he mobilised others.
Yeah.
So that his reach was beyond himself. I like that. I'm not sure how I feel about, I say risk of spoilers, but how I feel about the scene at the end with the where it talked about friends.
Yeah.
You know, because is that who it should be?
Yes, I think it is.
Because it didn't look like it from the image you got.
I think it's a before he is who he is.
Right. All right. Okay.
I think that's what Matt Reeves has said. In fact, he's done a little explanation. It's worth looking for the interview with him as to his vision for what that character will be like.
Right. Because it leads you enough to know who that is.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that doesn't look like who it should look like, but.
No, I think it's that character's early formation, I think.
Right, okay.
But
that'll be good.
Yeah. And the idea of actually two of them, you know, connecting to each other as well, those two characters, is interesting.
And we'll talk about it more next week, say, with guests that got coming on, but I did like the action scenes. Say, I loved a lot about it. I was quite precious about the Nolan films, and for me, it probably sits just below them. But if there is another two films to come, it may well, you know, because like the Batman Begins is a great film, but it's made even better by the subsequent films because they're almost one film for me, the Dark Knight trilogy. So this is the first chapter of this reimagining of the Batman story or retelling. And I think it was excellent. I say, I'm always a bit like 3 hours, but I loved it. Didn't really want it to end. I say the end could have been different, could have been shorter, could have been, but as a character that we've been introduced to and the complexities of him, I really liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, I did as well. I did. Okay. That brings us to our ratings.
Okay.
Do you want to go first or second?
Yeah. So this obviously may change over time, but at this moment in time, I would go Rises, Dark Knight, Begins, The Batman, and they are way clearer of all of the others. But then the others, it would be 5 Returns, 6 Batman, 7 Forever, 8 Batman v Superman, 9 Batman and Robin.
And it's fairly similar, but not exactly the same. Bottom half's the same. Number 1 for me is The Dark Knight. Number 2, I think, is The Batman. I think that's number 2. Number 3, Batman Begins. Number 4, Batman Returns. Number 5, The Dark Knight Rises. Number 6, Batman 1989. Number 7, oh, you know what? No. Yeah, number 7, Batman Forever. Number 8, Batman v Superman. And number 9, Batman and Robin, which is barely even a film.
Barely even a film.
It's a 2-hour long advert. It doesn't count. It just shouldn't count. It shouldn't be on IMDb. It's not a film.
Okay. And if anybody who's involved with that film is watching, then it's Luke that said that. The guy that said that is Luke.
Yeah, terrible. Anyway, so I think similar. We've got a little bit of chopping and changing at the top end, but I think our bottom end was pretty much the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Great. I enjoyed that. So let us know what you think of the Batman films. Send us your top 9 of them. Don't do any more than 9 because we've not seen any of those. We couldn't agree or disagree with you.
And then next week we will be focusing on The Batman, and it will be full of spoilers. So if you haven't seen it by then don't watch and listen until you have seen it. But we'd love to know what you think of it if you have seen it, and then listen to the conversation and get involved.
Yep. And we shall see you next week.
Thanks very much.